very much. After seeing that video, I really don't know that I've got much to say. Anyhow, I want to thank everybody for coming out and taking the city. This is a great crowd. I'm just so impressed with how many people came out to see us today. And, you know, hopefully we'll have a good time today. I want to take a moment to thank the Rotary and the Chamber of Commerce, both who are putting this on. I'm intimately involved with both groups. I'm at every Friday morning 7 a.m. meeting, and I go to a lot of chamber events also. Also, obviously, want to thank our platinum sponsors, Northside Hospital and Jacobs. Thank you very much. This is exactly what we wanted for tonight. And Susan, Don, and Brian, thanks for coming. This is the kind of class that Dunwoody produces here. This is why we're pretty excited about having this entire speech and the whole thing going forward. Again, I want to thank our city staff for all the work they did to put this together. But before I start recognizing all the people that came tonight, I wanted to make sure that I thank especially my wife, Mary Pat. Say I would not be the mayor and would not be up here if it weren't for her support and her guidance, I think, is probably the best word. She's very helpful. All of our city council made it today, and I want to thank them. They really are fantastic. We are very lucky to have a very, very good, forward-looking group of city council members. I wanted to identify them all by name. Denny Shortle, Terry Nall, stand up. Ben Brooks, Amy Professor, Chuck Thompson, John Hagan, they really are what makes it easy to do this. They give me the courage to stand up in a lot of situations and defend the city in a lot of opportunities because they have my back, and that's what I appreciate. Thanks, guys. We have a few people I wanted to make sure we all recognize here. You know, Don is the president of the chamber. I want to make sure you recognize that. Stacey Harris is also here, the president of DHA. That's a very important group. I'll talk a little bit about that later. Warren Huttmacher, our city manager, is here too. Thanks, Warren. You're very welcome. We have a couple of our county commissioners here, Kathy Gannon and Lee May. Are you guys out there? Sherry Boston, my friend, the county solicitor, is here tonight too. We appreciate that. And then a special guest that I just found out about, Lynn Feynman, our Austin Teacher of the Year. If I missed any of your other names, you guys already had a chance to stand up, so there you go. Hey, again, thanks for attending this evening. I'm grateful for the chance to speak to you and provide an update on what we've accomplished and also where we're headed. It's been a busy year. We've accomplished a lot in the last 12 months. And I just want to, since the last State of the City, just want to bring you up to speed on what we've done in 2012, what lies ahead in 2013, and just reflect a little bit on why we became a city and why so many other areas of DeKalb County and other parts of the metro area want to become cities too. And I think we're the shining example that we want to keep forward as we go forward. You know, as a city, we have a couple of primary responsibilities. We do public safety and we do infrastructure. You know, it's a lot of other things the counties and the states and the federal government does, but that's really what we do, public safety and infrastructure. And we take a very small slice of the property tax pie to do everything we can do to make Dunwoody a better place to live, work, and play. So for us, it really comes down to the three P's, and we talk about this a lot. We're always making sure as a city council or as a city staff that we focus on these items. And that's, the three P's are paving, police, and parks. That's really what we're all about in the city. So before I detail all the great successes we've related to Dunwich Paving and Police, I want to spend a little bit of time talking to you about an idea a group of DeKalb residents had when they were creating this community. About 15 years ago, a few residents, organization members, and concerned community participants started rallying around an idea, a vision, if you will. The vision of what was our city's jewel, Brooklawn Park. This vision was the work of people like you and me, former State Senator Jim Teisinger, Dunwoody residents Bill McCann and Noel Robinson, Marilyn Drew, who was the DeKalb's Parks Commissioner at the time, Claire Hayes, who was the Director of the Nature Center, and the many other area residents who saw an opportunity to create something special. They created something special because they had a vision for what could be. And thanks to that vision and their continued determination, we now have and control 102 acres of the best raw park facilities in the perimeter area. What's important about this story is it took a strong vision of what could be to help us realize and enjoy what today is Brooklawn Park. Now, I call it a raw park, and we feel kind of like the dog that caught the car. Now, we have 47,000 different visions of what a park is. I hear it all day long. Ball fields, walking trails, dog runs, frisbee golf, quiet serenity, skate park, gardens, playgrounds, trails, or just pure, unadulterated nature. So unlike many cities, we don't have a lot of parkland around us. So we have to shoehorn everyone's ideas into this 102 acres. It's not easy, but we will figure it out. As a city, we've come far because we've had a vision of what we could be. A vision to become a city that brought us to where we are today. Many of us in this room today gathered together over countless meetings, coffees, late nights, lunches. Even late lunches evolved into late nights. We rallied around our common vision because we believed of what it could be. We showed up at the polls because our collective vision and captured cityhood through our strong support and an overwhelming majority of 83%. We didn't stumble into cityhood. We came at it like a freight train because we knew it was the right path forward for us. It was the vision of what could be. As I look around at the other cities like us and those that want to be like us, I'm reinvigorated by our vision. We are now the example of what can be. New cities like Peachtree Corners and Brookhaven formed. Tucker, Druid Hills, Lakeside, Stonecrest are all hoping to be like us. What we became a city 4 years ago because we wanted to control our own destiny, just like these new cities do now. We wanted more localized influence and better management of what really mattered to us. And we have a greater influence over what gets done in our city. We patched, repaired, and paved many of our streets, which were in need of attention. Streets that hadn't been touched for 25 years. We started a police force, which is now one of the most highly regarded in the state, or maybe in the southeast. And we began taking better care of our natural resources and our parks. We've come a long way in 4 short years, and we remain focused on 3 basics, our core needs. But we're also committed to the realization of our future, aspiring to that vision of what's right is in our history. It's what helped start the Dunwoody Homeowners Association. It's why we have 17 swimming tennis clubs, and why they continue to thrive even in a down economy. It's why the neighbors and members of those clubs will each tell you theirs is the best club and theirs is the best neighborhood. It's why we have successful businesses and leaders and CEOs who live in our city, gentlemen like Brian and Don. These are the kind of people who live in the city of Dunwoody. These strong groups and neighborhoods help create what we wanted and what we have become. Our strong vision will help us realize the great city we can be. Take a look at what Dunwoody is today, and it really translates into a picture of success. We've created village centers and gateway areas like the perimeter, Georgetown, Dunwoody Village, Williamsburg and Jenner area, and now even Winter's Chapel, Peeler Road area. We have the access and convenience to make Dunwoody an attractive location to work and play, from Class A office space to the mall, fabulous restaurants, neighborhood shops, family-owned eateries. We share a common vision with our friends in the PCID, where a large group of business owners pay an additional tax to support an infrastructure. Through the efforts of the PCID and the cities of Dunwoody and Sandy Springs, the perimeter has turned into the largest and most successful commercial district in the Southeast. Dunwoody is a place where people want to be. Not just us, but young professionals, families who want to live here, because of everything our city has to offer. We're attracting that next generation who can see that Dunwoody can be a place to live right out of college, get married, raise a family, and retire. This is what I dream of for my kids. If you recall a while back, I wrote an article called Who Will Buy Your House? Aimed at the empty nest community, of which I'm intimately familiar with now. And I identify the people who will be looking for a community when we go to sell our family homes. I keep this in mind with every decision I make as a mayor. A few months after I wrote this article in the Dunwoody Crier, I had the opportunity to meet someone who I saw as the answer to my article's questions. Who's going to buy my house? Her name was Linda McKevney. Linda told me, for as long as she lived in Atlanta, she loved Dunwoody. A few years ago, she was shopping at a garage sale in the branches, and she asked the homeowner, why aren't any houses for sale in here? And the woman smiled and said, because no one ever wants to leave. She knew then that Dunwoody was where she was going to place her family. Fortunately, this summer, her dream came true. With a young son and 7 months pregnant, she and her husband, Sam, sold their townhome and moved into an apartment on Ashley Dunwoody Road and spent every night looking online for Dunwoody homes. There were so few homes available, she thought they would never find a place before their baby girl was born. Their agent sent out postcards to her favorite streets, asking everyone if they were interested in selling. Within a few days, she got a call from a family who had just been notified of a job transfer. Linda and Sam looked at the home that day and knew that was the one. The house never even went on the market. They moved in a few months later, and their daughter was born just 3 weeks later. They lived just off Mount Vernon and Ashton Dunwoody. And what's special about the story is that their home is the center of their world now. They walk to church. Their son's daycare, Primrose, is right around the corner. They love being able to walk to events like the holiday tree lighting and the 4th of July parade. They want to do many things, from getting a haircut to grabbing a bite to eat at Dunwoody Village. Now that's convenience, and that's the kind of family that's going to buy our houses. You know, you and I, those of us my age, grew up watching Andy Taylor and Leave It to Beaver. But the people who are looking to sell our houses to in the future grew up with friends in Seinfeld. A different version of rural, suburban versus city and urbanism. The new generation sees the world differently than we did. And as leaders of the city, it's our job to understand that difference and prepare for it. I was hoping Linda and her family could come, but she was worried that one of her kids would be sick, and apparently they are, so we weren't lucky enough to get them to come tonight. But it was a pleasure getting to know them and to hear their story, because it was exactly what I had written in my article going back, six, 7 months ago. As the leaders of the city, we have to appeal to these type of new families, as well as the staff, as well as our existing residents. We can get there by realizing our vision for what this city can be. And as a city, we've done a lot in the past year to help us realize our vision. And as I look at our 2012 accomplishments, I realize just how busy we've been as a city. Our public works department, Michael Smith, heads that up. Michael, you're here today? And you're up there somewhere. Thanks a lot. I'm getting over a cold. I feel like moving it. departments and just hit on some of the highlights. We resurfaced over 14 lane miles of roadway. And that was a big accomplishment. More importantly, we resurfaced more roads over the last 40 years than DeKalb County has in the entire county. We've added bike lanes on Perimeter Center East and Mount Vernon west of Master Dunwoody. We completed final design of the Tilly No North Peachtree Peeler Road intersection. That will be beginning, I believe, this year. We presented conceptual designs for the Vermack-Womack intersection. We added new sidewalks on Happy Hollow Road and Valley View Road, and began construction on 10 other locations as prioritized in our city's sidewalk improvement program. We secured support from Georgia DOT to update signal timing on Mount Vernon Road, Tilly Mill Road, North Shallowford Road, and Shamley Dunwoody Road. We integrated a new work order management system with the public reporting interface. We set up C-Click Fix. Has anybody tried that yet? Anybody? There's some hands, I appreciate it. C-Click Fix is a pretty cool program. Your smartphone, on your computer, you literally drive by, see something wrong on a roadway in Dunwoody, take a picture of it, send it to C-Click Fix, and now it gets registered, and you can follow it until it gets fixed. I've sent a few in myself. Potholes. You don't have to give an explanation how long it's been there or what's wrong. All you got to do is say, oh, pothole. they will know exactly where it is because the GPS on your phone identified where it was, and they just go out and find it. Our city's GIS system is fascinating. We're just now about to roll it out. I've been playing with it at night on my computer. It literally is Google Earth on steroids. You've got to try this on our website. Once we get everyone trained up on it, Sherry, I think, is here. She's going to be training all the city council, and we'll slowly be teaching all the citizens how to use this thing. This is amazing. This really gets into things you've never imagined that a Google Maps or Google Earth could show you. Our GIS system has. We just recently, I think about 2 weeks ago, we teamed up with Sandy Springs and a couple other cities, and airplanes flew over all three cities and took pictures of the entire area. And we'll be now showing up in our system. So we'll have the topographic maps along with the maps showing your lot lines and also easements and water flows. It's really amazing. So we've got that. That's coming online right now. Last year we completed 20 plus stormwater replacement projects. And if you recall, we took over the project of the stormwater management from DeKalb County a couple of years ago. We realized DeKalb County didn't have any money in that account that they're supposed to keep for emergency purposes, and decided we would rather have our own system rather than trust DeKalb County to come fix our problems. We have, as I recall, 69 miles of underground piping, and most of it is 30 to 40 years old, and that's about as long as it lasts. So we are now taking care of it ourselves. As I said, we fixed 20 of those this year. We plan on fixing 20 a year as we go forward. Last year, we raised that fee on the stormwater tax part, so we'll be able to repair these things going forward and actually get ahead of it instead of fixing it after the street caves in. Last year, we secured $640,000 in funding from the Atlanta Regional Commission for sidewalks and bicycle improvements and paving on Shamley Dunwoody Road. We also secured a $3 million grant from Georgia DOT to synchronize all the traffic lights in the Perimeter North Mall area. And that's a lot of money, and it's a lot of other people's money. And the interesting thing for me is I'm actually an anti-earmark, anti-pork barrel guy. I'm a conservative, and I don't really feel good about borrowing money or getting money from a government that goes out and borrows it to give it to us. So it's an interesting conundrum I find myself in taking this money from governments that don't have it to give. But as the mayor of the city, I find myself in an interesting quandary of being realistic and taking the money because it's being offered, and we don't take it, somebody else will, or being philosophically pure and saying, no, we don't take grant money. Well, the reality is that we have a job to do as the leaders of the city. We have things to fix. We have a lot of work to be done, and it's going to cost a lot of money. And yes, we are taking that money, and we'll continue to take it. As philosophically as we're going to take it. That wasn't an applause line. But it really comes down to the fact that we have, as the city leaders, a job to do, as I said. And as much as it pains me in my conservative roots to say we shouldn't be taking money from a government that borrows 45% of everything it spends, but on the other hand, if we don't take it, we know someone else will. And we'll be the fools standing on the sideline wondering why everyone else has all this nice stuff and we don't, because we didn't take the money. So we're taking it. So on to our police department. We had a good year this year. Billy Brogan, Chief, you're here. I should call him Citizen of the Year, Chief Brogan. He won that award this year for the DHA at their annual meeting. And you know, I talk a lot about economic development, and Don mentioned that I have a business background, and I really come from the business world. And I look at everything from a business point of view. And so getting involved in attracting businesses and bringing pretty much tax money to Dunwoody to help pay for all this stuff is really what I love to do. But it really comes down to the fact, this is why I appreciate what Billy does. Dunwoody is a great place to live, work, play, shop, dine, but none of that's true at first if it's not viewed as safe. And that's really what our police department is all about. It's so important that Dunwoody be viewed as safe. And all you have to do is look to what happened in Buckhead not that many years ago, looking back at the Ray Lewis incident and what happened to Buckhead shortly thereafter. Buckhead basically had to implode itself, because all of a sudden it went from being a really fun place to go and have dinner and drinks and a lot of clubs to being a dangerous place. And once that happens to a city, the only thing you can do is what Buckhead has done, which is basically just flatten the entire area and start again. And I don't want that to happen in Dunwoody, so we're going to make sure that we stay on top of this as long as we can. So last year, we targeted criminal offenders who made 1,619 arrests and issued 6,686 citations. We completed 2,300 accident reports and 6,500 incident reports. We completed 11,000 business checks and 4,400 residential checks. And included in all those numbers were 4,000 false alarm responses. And just for reference, 4,000 false alarms cost the city $200,000 a year in wasted man hours. We actually send somebody every false alarm, even though the false alarm happens every Thursday and Saturday at 8 a.m. We still send somebody to do that. So our city council recently passed a new ordinance to better control that problem, where we will start finding the repeat offenders. And we expect to see a 70% drop in false alarms over the next 2 years. And this is based on the experience of other cities that we've looked into with that. In particular, Marietta had the same situation, and they did the same thing. So if you're one of those habitual false alarm guys, we're going to start charging you now. We implemented a car fit program and a child safety seat check program. We implemented a domestic assault response team program. We participated in aggressive targeting of pill mills through coordination and efforts from the DEA and other agencies. We implemented the med return drug collection unit so citizens can bring unused and unneeded prescription medications to the department for safe disposal. And we received the 2012 Motorola Curtis McClung Award for Excellence for our collision avoidance training program. This is a program that had huge success teaching teens how to avoid accidents. And it's amazing the statistics we've seen on the kids that have been through this program. We promoted our community policing philosophy by hosting a Citizens Police Academy and initiated 12 homeowner association and neighborhood watch programs. We also had a government 101 program. 25 citizens for 8 weeks came and learned how our government works. And now on to our parks and recreation for 2012. Brent Walker, you're here? Brent's a real joy to work with. He is, you know, he's just like that guy in Parks and Recreation. That's him. Isn't that right, Brent? Yeah. We adopted the facility use agreements with our recreation partners. We repaired and reactivated the fountain at Brooklyn Park. And you've ever seen the glow that the Rotary gave us many years ago that stopped working only days after it was installed. We finally got that back up and running, so it actually works now. And Brett's there every day making sure it works. We quickly began construction of our Brook Run Trail Phase 1. We received a $100,000 grant for our Brook Run Trail Phase 2. We hosted special events like Pick in the Park and Memorial Day and Veterans Day events. We partnered with the Dunway Nature Center to undertake restoration of the Lower Meadow. We completed the design of Phase 1 Project Renaissance Parks and Trails. And we started a citywide grant program with all the private 501c organizations that allowed us to direct how the city spends money fixing up those city-owned properties. Organizations like the Nature Center, the Preservation Trust, Senior Baseball, the Dog Park, Community Garden, and many others can take part in this program and identify parts of our city-owned properties that need attention. In our community development department, we picked up a new guy off the trade list. Steve Dush just joined us recently from Fort Collins, Colorado. Steve, you're here? With his help, we completed a substantial portion of the zoning code rewrite. We completed 12 multifamily apartment complex suites, identifying over 8,000 safety issues for repair. It's 14,000 since we started the program. You know, you think back to why we became a city, and one of the main reasons I wanted to become a city was, over the last 10 years, 9,000 new apartment homes were built in Dunwoody. And we were trying to preserve the character of Dunwoody and the flavor of Dunwoody, and we felt that this apartment boom was not good for the city. And in my mind, in a lot of people's mind, that was one of the main reasons we wanted to become a city. And so I talked about this apartment complex sweep as part of a program to keep what I refer to as the apartment spiral from happening. You've seen it all over the North Metro area. Apartments that, when we first moved here, were post apartments, were luxury apartments. 25 years later is where our police spend most of their time. And that's the apartment spiral. Start out with the luxury apartments, and slowly it goes down, so the price goes down, so the maintenance goes down, price goes down further, maintenance goes down. So what we've instituted in the city of Dunwoody is our apartment suite program, and we're targeting one apartment complex a month. It's going to take us a while to get to all of them. But with that, we have found 14,000 violations in the 12 apartment complexes we've done so far. And what that's doing for us is it's forcing the apartment owners to keep the quality up so the spiral doesn't begin. And that's really what this is all about, because once that begins, it's hard to stop. So we are forcing the apartment owners to keep these places up, to keep the quality up, and to keep the quality of the residents up. Because that's what feeds our schools, and by keeping the quality up, we're not feeding our police department with something to do all the time. So it really comes down to being able to control this. We have 52 complexes here in Dunwoody. From talking to some of the people over at Brookhaven, I understand that they haven't counted them yet. But I understand they have 75 to 100 apartment complexes. And if you get up and down the Beaver Highway, you can imagine the big chore they have in front of them. But that's what our effort is all about. And we're seeing some big success. And interestingly, the effect of the housing bust and the fact that it's hard to get a mortgage, or a lot harder to get a mortgage than it was 5-10 years ago. A lot of people that were living in houses are now renting apartments. So we're getting a better quality resident living in the apartment complexes, and the apartment complexes are being kept up at a better quality. So we're seeing some great success there. Our community development department has also updated the rules and procedures for all planning and zoning processes and application amendments in order to clarify what's going on. We've developed and adopted an urban canopy tree inventory assessment. And yes, we actually have an inventory of all the trees the city owns. Well, at least every tree over 8 inches. As I said, we completed the GIS web browser, public viewing. The GIS information will be available shortly. I recommend you try this out. It is on the city website. And finally, we received a silver certification as an Atlanta Regional Commission Green Community. And this year, we're going to go for the gold. And a lot of the things that I've talked about, including things like the urban tree canopy, are how you move from silver to gold. In our finance and IT departments, Chris Pike, are you still here? His wife wasn't feeling good, and he thought he might have to leave. I'm not going to go through the whole list of all the things he wanted to tell you about, because it's all finance stuff. If you finance me, you can read it later. But I'll hit a couple of highlights. We published the first popular annual financial report. We received the 2012 GFOA Distinguished Budget Presentation Award. I'm not sure what GFOA stands for, but I think it's pretty important. But the key is, and all of that is good, and I've got a whole list of these things, and I'm not going to be, because he's not here to hear it anyway, I don't think. But all this is good, but the real story is that our finances are strong. We are very, very transparent in everything we do. And we are on track to achieve our goal of having 4 months of revenue in the bank saved away for a rainy day. And this was a goal that we set forth when we first became a city. We set a goal that 5 years, we wanted to have 4 months worth of revenue in the bank for a rainy day. Something like housing prices dropping by 25%. So anyhow, we're in good shape there. I appreciate what Chris does. He is a fabulous finance guy, and we are very lucky to have someone of his caliber. Next thing I want to talk about is our economic development. This is near and dear to my heart. Michael Starling is our guy who runs that. Michael, thank you. Brian and Don talked a little bit about some of the numbers in the city of Dunwoody. I'm going to hit on some of the really high points. If you recall, last year I announced that we had 2.3 million square feet of Class A office space empty, and most of it was in entire office buildings. Well, we filled three of those office buildings, and one of them I'm eyeing for something else right now, as I'll tell you in a second. But we filled 735,000 square feet of Class A office space last year through company expansions and relocations. We created the Urban Redevelopment Agency and redevelopment plan to help guide our redevelopment. We reported 1,300 new jobs, over $50 million worth of capital investment through company expansion and relocations. Now, to give you an idea of how big that 1,300 new jobs in Dunwoody, the entire metro Atlanta area had a total net increase of 3,000 new jobs. And Dunwoody represents almost half of that number. So, that really is huge. That's Dunwoody by itself represents almost half of all the new jobs that came to the Atlanta metro area. You know, and a big one, we don't even have the real numbers yet, but the real big one is that, you know, State Farm came and took two buildings over near City Hall, right across the street from City Hall, 64 and 66 building. They took both of those buildings. And now they just announced they're coming back and taking another 180,000 square feet over at the Hammond Exchange, which is kitty corner across from the MARTA station over in that building over there. You know, but other companies have made Dunwoody their new home too. Electa, Old Castle, Chef, Von Maur, just to name a few. And along with that, we have some fabulous new restaurants, Marlowe's, Capitol Grill, Vino Venue, and Moondog, my favorite. That's right. But let me tell you a little bit about Elektra, because it's one that fascinates me. And it's an interesting company. They moved they're a Scandinavian company, moved here recently, moved their headquarters to Dunwoody because they want the high profile of the kind of class A office space that we have in Dunwoody. But it was also something very unique that they were looking for in that, and it turned out that we had exactly what they wanted. Elektra makes what they call the gamma knife. I don't know if you're familiar with it. If you've never had a relative with brain cancer, you're probably very familiar with it. It's actually a helmet that goes on the head and sends rays from different angles into the head, and when those rays all meet in one spot, they kill the cancer. So they can go through the brain tissue without doing any damage, but not until they actually meet do they actually kill the cancer. We can imagine it's not the kind of thing you just hand some technician and say, oh, you know, put it on your client and see what happens. A lot of training is involved in this. So they needed office space, first of all, on a ground floor that could hold the equipment that they have. And what they've had to do to the office space just to get the equipment in is unbelievable. They actually had to lower the entire floor of the building 4 feet in order to get this stuff in. But they wanted to have space that was grounded, that they could put the equipment in, number one. Number two, they're bringing in technicians from all over the world, doctors and the technical advisors that actually do this. And these people come in for a week or two at a time, oftentimes with their spouse. So the next thing they wanted is they wanted something within walking distance of a very, very good hotel. We can do that. Third, their spouses and these people are going to be in the area for a week or two at a time. They wanted access to transit. We had Martin. They wanted great restaurants. We've got a boatload of them. They wanted a real world-class mall right across the street. So they moved into the terraces right over there on Ashland Dunwoody Road near Meadowlands. They can walk to the hotel, they can walk to a bunch of very, very good restaurants, walk to the mall, walk to Marvin, and this is exactly what they want. And we have it. And that's the kind of thing that we push and we talk about when companies are coming to Dunwoody looking for what really makes Dunwoody special. And we can do that with a lot of companies, and then you'd be surprised how many companies are looking for that combination. Not necessarily that exact combination, but that combination of things that a city can offer. And that's what makes Dunwoody so special. So as I mentioned, we attracted a lot of great new restaurants, in Marlowe's and Capitol Grill. We also just announced we've got a couple new restaurants coming in, Cafe Afar and Mojo Burrito. And we also got our first Chick-fil-A coming, as you are aware. Over at Jet Ferry and Mount Vernon Road, they're building the old Arby's. So we're very happy to have a Chick-fil-A here in Dunwoody. H&M is opening a new location in the Perimeter Mall. And Nordstrom Rack is opening a place across the street over at the Best Buy. And as you may have heard, Crystal is now moving their headquarters to Dunwoody, taking 25,000 square feet. If you've ever driven through Chattanooga, the biggest building in Chattanooga has the biggest sign in Chattanooga that says Crystal. Well, now they're in Dunwoody. So not bad for a year's work. But we're setting ourselves up for another good year. 2013 looks good for all of our economic development goals. But again, we're focused on the three P's. As long as we keep our eye on the basics and keep our eye on the comprehensive plans that we put forward, we know we can be successful. We've been careful to pull all of our citizen and community input into our transportation master plan, into our parks master plan, to ensure and preparing to create streets, sidewalks, bike lanes, parks, trails, amenities to satisfy the desires of all the people who want to come here. So in our first 4 years of planning and preparing, 2013 and beyond, will become our implementation. We now need to take all that vision that we took forth over the last 4 years that we've established with all of our citizen groups and all of our commissions and all of our groups that have come together telling us what they want Dunwoody to become. And now we want to start building. So it's time to implement these plans for our infrastructure improvements. So we're talking about intersection improvements, like Tilley Mill and North Peachtree and Peel. The mill there, especially here in school, it's a mess. That's the first intersection we're taking care of. We're also looking at Mount Vernon and Womack, trying to figure out how to fix that. Also, Vermac and Womack, looking at how to fix that. We haven't figured out how to fix that one yet. We're hearing a lot of complaints about what we're doing, but the reality is that we haven't done anything yet. All we've done is ask our advisors and our designers to come up with a plan. We know we have a family intersection. We know we have an intersection that is not working, and we're not sure how to fix it. The neighbors obviously don't want a roundabout. I'm not sure what they want, but what we have right now is not good, and it's failing. So we have to do something. So again, we need to make sure, in the future, we need to make sure we're taking care of our stormwater infrastructure. As I mentioned earlier, we repaired 20 stormwater systems last year. We've identified 20 more, and it's all about getting ahead of it before the things start caving in. We're making concerted efforts at addressing our transportation and congestion issues so that we can create daily commutes that won't have us sitting in traffic all day long. And you know that when those are jammed and people start looking for alternatives, Dunwoody is the alternative they look for. When 485 are backed up, where do people go? And the reality is, there's not enough money in the world for us to fix the roads in Dunwoody if everyone gets off the highway on 425 and uses Dunwoody as a shortcut. And that's what's happening right now. So what I'm proud to tell you about right now is that Yvonne Williams from PCID and her team, along with... along with our team at the PCID, and we do appreciate them, many of the area mayors and several business leaders have been working to keep the 285-400 intersection at the top of the governor's list of repair issues. We've been meeting with the governor, our senators, and our other local leaders to make sure that that promise is kept. And if you recall, right after the T-Splosh failed, the governor came right out within days and said 485 is a priority that has to be fixed. And our job, along with all the other mayors in the perimeter area, our senators, Satchel Shambliss, Johnny Isaacson, Nathan Deal, and PCID leading the charge, we were actually putting money on the table, let them know we're not just standing there with our hands out like everybody else is. We're actually going to put money in to get this thing going. And I think that's caught their attention. So, you know, cross your fingers and keep on bothering our elected representatives because they're the ones who are pulling the strings here. We will keep our promise of addressing the needs of our city parks. We must stay committed to our parks master plan, which was created with the community input with ideas, and it remains our vision for what we want our parks to be in the years to come. We will continue to upgrade our existing amenities and facilities and with new ones very constantly. Whether that entails improving our playgrounds or via multi-use trails or new athletic and sports facilities or maybe even a tennis center over the old Gold Kiss facility. You may have read one of my, an idea that I blurted out to a reporter recently, only because I wasn't getting any traction when I was talking about it internally. I've got a lot of friends who have kids who play travel tennis. And parents whose kids play travel tennis spend a lot of money traveling around the Southeast, and around the country, the Southeast primarily, playing in these tennis tournaments. And they stay in fairly, you know, Class B, Class C accommodations. And my thought was, and I asked them, what if they could come to somewhere like Dunwoody and at the old Gold Kiss facility, get a have a mall, restaurants, MARTA, all the shopping, all within walking distance of a tennis facility like what they travel to all in the Southeast. And they all admit they've never done anything like that. None of the places they go in the Southeast have anything like that. So what we're looking at is figuring out ways to come up with the money, find partners that can buy the property with us, and move forward with it. And this is it's in the baby steps now, but I wanted to get the idea out there. And we've actually generated a lot of interest. We started getting a lot of phone calls from developers and from people in other sporting venues wanting to know if they can partner this too. So the interest is out there, and we'll see where this takes us. So we'll soon have new parks and new spaces for families and residents who enjoy Georgetown. Over the next year, the city's Project Renaissance Parks will begin construction. Matter of fact, I think they're starting in the next couple of months. And we need to increase the connectivity to different parts of our city to make Dunwoody more accessible to everyone, including those with disabilities, as well as hikers, runners, bikers, and parents with strollers. Our future is about making sure we develop in the right way, the way we want to develop. That means we need to work with our experts in planning and community development to help create zoning codes and ordinances that speak to the character of Dunwoody. By continuing to work with the citizens of Dunwoody, boards and commissions, the development authority, and the elected officials, we can better manage current and long-range land development, building construction, and code compliance. We need to continue to be fiscally conservative, economically responsible in the way we spend our money. While many local and municipal governments across Georgia and the nation face continuing economic challenges throughout 2012, the city of Dunwoody's finances fared better than most over the last couple of years. And you know, why is that? Well, we fight every day to avoid picking up the bad habits of the cities all over the country. We have a very small workforce. We use a 401k model. You're not going to find us falling into the trap of the defined benefit plan that so many cities have underfunded and now are trying to figure out how they can dig themselves out of without some sort of federal or state assistance. So thanks in part to the city's diverse revenue stream and an efficiently managed service structure, Dunwoody is able to realize a revenue increase of $4.8 million last year, which represents an anticipated $2.7 million over our original budget estimates. So we saw a big increase in our revenue stream come in last year. And a lot of that was due to the taxes that come through the mall. Maintaining fiscal responsibility and accountability is critically important to what we're doing as a city. And that's one of the things you'll find City Council talks about a lot, and I can't stress this enough, that we as a City Council recognize that we're only 4 years old, and that it's easy to pick up bad habits that you can't get out of. And we look at the older cities around us, cities that aren't much bigger than us. Alpharetta and Roswell come to mind. They're not much bigger than us. We're 47,000. They're somewhere in the range of less than 60,000. But they've got workforces that are two and three and four times larger than ours. And the point is that we in Dunwoody view government as a way to provide services in the most efficient, least expensive way we can. I believe most other governments view government as a jobs program. And I promise we will not allow that to happen in Dunwoody. So we will continue to support our excellent police force. And as I said, that's the key, I think, to economic development is making sure that people believe you are safe. In the past year, the City Council allocated funds for new hires to add to our dedicated officers on the ground. We currently had, or last year we had 46 uniformed officers. We've increased that number to 50. So in 2013, the police department plans to continue aggressively working with our residential and commercial community to improve safety. And this will be accomplished in continuing our community outreach and crime prevention efforts. One important program in this effort is the implementation of the crime response team. That's what actually these four new officers are going to do. They're going to be a specially designed crime response team, which will enable the department to assess targeted responses and report crime and be preemptive instead of being reactive. The department will enact measures to improve efficiency of time and resources by hiring a civilian prisoner transport officer to key patrol officers in Dunwoody. That's another one of the hires we agreed to for the police department. a prisoner transport officer. Right now, when we have one of our officers make an arrest, he ends up driving that police officer, he or she, ends up driving that police officer, that prisoner all the way down to DeKalb County to the jail, taking him off the roads in Dunwoody sometimes for 4 or 6 hours. So from now on, we'll have a prisoner transport officer who will make these trips so our officers stay on the street. Again, that was an easy fix and not very expensive, and it's actually cheaper than having one of our armed officers making that trip. But again, it comes down to safety. We attract the homeowners, the shoppers, and business people by offering the safest community we can. We're also very proud of our quality of life, which plays a large part in our overall economic development. Going forward, we need to continue attracting and retaining businesses and jobs. Dunwoody's convenient location and a local economy that has an appealing destination for businesses and families has been part of the city's economic development success story. The city is mindful and supportive of redevelopment efforts to enhance Dunwoody's commercial activity centers, focusing special attention on Project Renaissance in Georgetown and improvements in Dunwoody Village. But we also want to foster that entrepreneurial spirit. And Brian and Don talked a little bit about our incubator that we're talking about doing. We're still on the table. We're still talking about creating a business incubator in Dunwoody where businesses can have the kind of expertise that these kind of guys have in their back pocket that they can offer to some new entrepreneur who wants to get a business started. So that's going to happen. I don't know if you've heard the story of Scoots. Came out of the Dunwoody Crier a couple of years ago. On your table, a sample package of a sugar substitute from a homegrown company right here in Dunwoody. Three friends and neighbors combined their resources, expertise, and networks of contacts to pursue an idea of developing and distributing all natural products to national and international retail channels. As the three were researching products, they came across an all-natural sweetener they felt could create a niche in the marketplace. So you've seen the blue packets, and the yellow packets, and the pink packets, and all the other colors. Well, now there's an orange packet, and it's on your table here. I want you to take that home with you. You're going to try. Scoops is the name of the product. It was born. Scoops is produced, packaged, and distributed locally in Atlanta. And I'm proud to say that it's a product that was born in Dunwoody. The president and CEO and Dunwoody resident, Larry Wilson, is here tonight. I'm sure he'd be delighted to share his story. Larry, you here? Yeah. You'd love to hear what you think of the product. So let's talk about 2013. The city of Dunwoody is preparing for an exciting and transformative fiscal year of 2013 with various projects and initiatives on the horizon. After 4 years of citizen-driven planning for parks, roads, and land use, the city is now moving forward. We're coming out of that planning phase that I talked about, entering the implementation phase. A great deal of thought has gone along with expert planning and design, and preparation has gone into the projects that lie ahead. And as I've said before, it's time for us to act. There's an exciting and modern plan for our city, and it's time for us to take a look at it. The Dunwoody Village Parkway and Main Street project is one that I'm excited about. This has the potential to be the backbone of a revitalized downtown Dunwoody Village. I envision this as being our version of Decatur's Courthouse Square or Roswell's Campus Street. Both these projects came about as a result of their city's building infrastructure and then private enterprise stepping in and building to the vision. And as my friend Bill Floyd, the ex-mayor of Decatur says, they refer to that as their 20-year miracle. When they first proposed it, their citizens thought they were crazy because that's where all the homeless people slept. Now it's the coolest thriving area of Decatur and probably the entire metro area. We also are working on Project Renaissance. In May 2012, the city announced its partnership with John Whelan Homes and Neighborhoods for the redevelopment of 35 acres of the old Shallowford Hospital and the Pipe Farm. John Whelan is bringing over 100 homes into the area. The city will be adding parks and creating a greenway corridor connecting and across the length of both sites with a concrete multi-use trail. We will have four different kinds of parks already existing in this new development, and these will be accessible and available to all the citizens of Dunwoody. We'll have a tot park for small kids. We'll have an adult park fronted by shops and restaurants. We'll have a large green with an amphitheater and a natural area connecting Georgetown with Brook Run. This project has already started the ball rolling. The city has been approached by several developers asking what else they can do to be part of this. I expect the next few years all the old buildings in that part of town will be revitalized and that entire area will spring back to life. And in the end, the city ends up with 21 acres of parks and green space and a new housing project in that part of town. Another issue I'd like to address here is public schools. Right now, the DeKalb County public school system is regrettably in disarray. With decreased graduation rates, low test scores, financial and managerial instability, and at risk of losing its accreditation, it comes as no surprise, and I'm disappointed, and I'm sure all of you are too. So we're working on a couple of different fronts. One is, we are trying to find out a way to get a separate standalone accreditation for Dunwoody schools. We're working that effort as in conjunction with, as you may have heard, our representative Tom Taylor. I'm not sure, but there he is, standing up right there. Tom is working hard to introduce legislation this year to create the Dunwoody school system. Now, Tom is the first to tell you his proposal faces huge uphill battle. His proposal would call for an amendment to the state constitution, would be voted on in next year's legislative session. If approved, the public would vote on the referendum later in the year. With the county school system currently under probation by the Southern Association of Colleges and Schools, the time for this legislation is overdue. So Tom, do your best. I know Tom gets a lot of email, but if you want to encourage him, just tell him right tonight. So speaking of schools, let me tell you about a heroic incident that just happened the other day that I think we need to talk about a little bit. A school crossing guard a few weeks ago saved the life of a young child in front of one of our schools. You may have read about it in the prior. 7-year-old Declan Hennigan, the son of our own city councilman, John Hennigan, was walking to Chestnut Charter Elementary School a couple weeks ago. It was a foggy morning, and a slight drizzle, and Declan in his bright red raincoat was walking down North Peachtree Road to Chestnut School. Crossing guard, Miss Lorraine Knox, had a few children in the crosswalk in front of school, and she stopped the northbound traffic with her lighted stop sign, and the kids began crossing under her supervision. Declan was the last child to go across, and as he did, a vehicle coming southbound towards the crosswalk did not acknowledge Miss Knox's stop sign. At that moment, Miss Knox took it upon herself to push Declan out of the way of a large pickup truck. Declan's rolling backpack was hit and dragged 10 feet down the road, but Declan was safe thanks to Miss Knox. This story is not only amazing, but should serve as a wake-up call on a number of levels for us. The first and foremost, the safety of our pedestrians, especially children going to school. We must continue to focus our efforts on creating safe and pedestrian-friendly improvements to our streets and our infrastructure. Councilman Hennigan and the other members of the council, I pledge to join you in every effort to find solutions to safely encourage issues around this and around our schools. And I clearly state my promise to everyone here today, we will make the changes and improvements necessary to guarantee the safety and walkability of our schools and our city streets and crosswalks. So I need you all to join me on this one. We are going forward on this. As I said earlier, our primary role in this city is to provide safety and build infrastructure. This is a perfect chance for us to put our money where our mouths are. So before we leave here tonight, I want to leave you with a couple of quick thoughts on who we are as a city. Now, I see Dunwoody as a point of access. At our core, we moved here in part because we want to have access to our work, access to schools, safe neighborhoods, access to transit options. We all want to have the opportunity to create a life that and is not only rewarding, but also active. To me, who we are as a city is defined by what I call the three C's: convenience, connections, and community. These three C's would keep us together, and also what makes Dunwoody great. Dunwoody is about convenience, convenience of location. We are situated where we can get to most places of interest in the metro area with relative ease. We're right by 285, 485. We're working with GDOT and PCIA to improve traffic flow and access. We've got two BART stations. We also have the convenience of amenities with park and green space, outstanding restaurants, nightlife, and one of the Southeast's best malls. We basically have convenience at our fingertips. And Dunwoody is also about connections. Connections for business. Each workday in the city of Dunwoody and the Central Perimeter office market has more than 120,000 executives and workers come to do business in this area within our buildings and offices. Connections for transit and infrastructure. With two MARTA stops and nearby interstates and converging dining interchange, we're a vital hub to the Atlanta area. And lastly, Dunwoody is about community. We're a community of different beliefs and faiths, with strong churches and houses of worship all over our city. We're a community of neighbors with active swim and tennis clubs and neighborhood community organizations that speak to the rich history of our city and the desire by our citizens for cooperation and kinship. Lastly, we are a community of involvement. We have strong opinions, active participation, and there is no sign today that's slowing down anytime soon. In fact, the spirit of community has even rubbed off on others, as evidenced by a company which recently made Dunwoody its location for its corporate consolidation. They have 94,000 square feet off of Ashford Parkway. Old Castle Incorporated is a manufacturer of building products and materials, and was very excited to consolidate all of their offices in the metro area into Dunwoody recently and become part of the Dunwoody community. So much so that they decided to partner with the Dunwoody Nature Center on a small project this spring. Old Castle will be using their products and Old Castle company volunteers to install a small retaining wall and pathway for the Nature Center. It's this type of community involvement and commitment which makes Dunwoody such a special place for business, residents, and visitors. So in closing, I'm pleased to say that we are a strong city and only getting stronger. Before the 1970s, Dunwoody was dependent on surrounding communities for its employment, shopping, and entertainment. Since then, Dunwoody's continued growth and progress have helped turn a sleepy farm community into a thriving, diverse, and economically vibrant community. Creating a vision for that future is at the core of our purpose. Inattention and neglect are a thing of the past. By making the tough decisions today, we can keep pace with the onset of time and changing economy to create something unique. As elected officials, it's important for us to hold covenant with our vision of the future. This vision has been shaped by grassroots efforts and conceived through a master planning process. The vision of what we would someday become is more than one sidewalk, one road, or one intersection. Our city's population was just over 14,000 in 1970. In 40 years' time, we've grown twofold in number, and I've seen our area become one of the most vibrant business centers in the Southeast. This is not time to remain stagnant. We need to grow, we need to show an investment in our community to improve our safety and infrastructure, to care for our homes, businesses, schools, city centers, and parks. Our regional economy is outpacing many other nations and regions. But without the proper administration and nurturing care, we can lose hold of that prosperity and quickly become a town which time forgot. Let's keep covenant with that promise and our visions by investing in resources in the city and help keep something better for all of us. There are many opportunities ahead. This is our time. We are standing right here at the center of the metro area. This very spot in Dunwoody, Georgia is the economic center of the metro area. We see all the scattered diagrams where the white-collar employees live, and every map shows Dunwoody as the very center. We see the traffic patterns and how people move throughout the region, and Dunwoody is at the very center. This is our time. We can make and will make sure that we take every advantage of our location while protecting all that we cherish about our home, Dunwoody. So thank you, and thanks for coming.